This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Who doesn't need a little Backstreet Boys for a pick-me-up? Here we are a few hours until our weekend starts. I know a lot of you are on the same schedule as we are, and so you're welcome. It's always fun to head into a football weekend. But it's the weekend, regardless. If there were no football, we still would be anxious for it, right? And this time next week, it's all kinds of craziness with football on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And so Thanksgiving week is all about the F's. For me anyway, the family, the food, of course, the fun, and the football. My family are not big sports fans, especially not the ones that I'm going to be hanging out with over Thanksgiving. My brother, my sister-in-law, my nieces. We have other things we're going to do. I'm taking a puzzle. It's something new that my nieces and I are excited to do together. And so I do puzzles with my 97-year-old grandmother, and now I'm going to do puzzles with my nieces. And they don't watch football, really. But my brother enjoys watching it with me. And so when I'm there, we like to watch some football with the leftovers. And I know a lot of you are already salivating over your Thanksgiving dinners. I thought this tweet was funny. I got this before the show because I said, I can't wait for Thanksgiving. And someone asks me, do you cook or order? What? Now, I know there are people who go out for Thanksgiving dinner. I've done it once in my life. It was weird. I've never ordered, but that's fine. I get it. Not everybody's Thanksgiving traditions are the same. But here's the thing. We're Italian, Polish, and Filipino. We don't order. We cook. That's just how it goes. It's almost considered sacrilegious not to cook on Thanksgiving. Like I said, one week for Thanksgiving, we went out. I'm trying to think what the reason was. Oh, my brother had a restaurant he really wanted to go to, so we went out. But it was not the same. And so we do a mix of food. We do traditional Thanksgiving on Thursday. And then my sister-in-law generally does a big round of Filipino food, usually on Friday or Saturday. And so we're excited about that. I can't wait. It's been a busy fall. It's been a quick fall. But there's also been a lot of work and not a whole lot of time to take away. So it'll be great to see my family. I know a lot of you are doing the same. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage. It's your mortgage. And that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What's the game you're most looking forward to this weekend? We're not yet to Thanksgiving week, so we'll get to it when we get to it. But this coming weekend, we've got some doozies. I'm not a big fan of the whole, if the playoffs were to start today, argument. However, it is, according to record, the top two teams in the NFC who will kick off Sunday night. Green Bay Packers, San Francisco 49ers. Pretty excited about that game. It's going to be awesome. We've got another NFC South clash. Can the Saints keep this nice cushion they've got atop the division, keep themselves in that conversation for best of the NFC? Can the Cowboys come up with a signature victory this year? Can they beat the New England Patriots? And then, of course, we've got Seahawks and Eagles. And while the Eagles are 5-5, because of all their experience, they're dangerous. They're getting healthier on defense as well. And then you think about some of the games that maybe feature only one team that right now is in playoff position. They're still critical. For instance, you've got the Ravens on the road at the Rams. Right now, the Rams are on the outside looking in. But did they turn a corner last week? Did they come up with this new formula, this new way to win? Remember, they really didn't do a whole lot through the air. Jared Goff, what, tried 18 pass attempts? That was it. He completed 11. This is the game against the Bears. Fewest since he joined the Rams. Instead, they had the heaviest workload for Todd Gurley in over a year. And they won 17-7. Oh, my goodness, what a difference a year makes. By the way, I appreciate so many of you have read my column and have written back to me. Yeah, what a difference a year makes. Think about where the Rams were a year ago. So Ravens at the Rams. Rams would like to keep their momentum going, of course, and try to scrape and claw to get back into the playoff picture. The Raiders on the road at the Jets. The Jets are coming off a game in which their offense looked a whole lot better. Sam Darnold, 4 touchdown passes. I get it. It was the Redskins. So what? A win is a win is a win. And they're hosting the Raiders, a team that now is trying to push the Chiefs atop the AFC West. So lots of good stuff this weekend. We will not have the rematch of Steelers-Browns until week 13. This weekend, the Browns are hosting the Dolphins. It's their opportunity to get to 5-6, so within a game of 500. Meanwhile, the Steelers are on the road at the Bengals, so they've got another divisional game. There will be no Marquise Pouncey for the next 2 weeks, no Myles Garrett for the rest of the way. That did not change on appeal. According to multiple sources, in his appeal with James Thrash, that lasted not even 2 hours, in his appeal, Myles Garrett claimed that Mason Rudolph used a racial slur. And that's what caused him to get so incensed and smash Rudolph over the head with his own helmet. So I'm going to give you some reaction from the locker rooms, both the Browns and the Steelers. And then I'll give you my reaction. Now, this is Myles Garrett with reporters on Thursday before the appeals decision was announced.
Did Mason say something? Is that what started things?
I just got to go look at it. No, I'm not gonna comment on it. No.
So he says, you just have to go look at it. I'm not going to comment on it. This is before the appeal was denied. Odell Beckham Jr., also before the appeal was denied.
I just don't see Miles as someone who would lie or do anything like that, so...
I don't see Miles as someone who would lie. Of course, you're not going to stand in front of people and say, oh yeah, Miles totally made it up. I mean, that's ridiculous, but Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't even on the field at the time. Freddie Kitchens, he's continued to support his best defensive player.
I'm sure Miles presented himself professionally like he's done ever since the moment it happened afterwards. He's been nothing but professional in his responses. I can't really comment on the arbitrator's decision. We'll respect his decision on whatever he decides. And I'm sure Miles presented himself professionally to the arbitrator in the hearing. And I'll stand by Miles, and that's not going to waver.
So Freddie Kitchens saying essentially the same thing he has said since the moments after the game last week in which the brawl really became the story. And, I mean, it was the story for 24 hours in sports. It was a big deal in the news cycle. The NFL reacted swiftly, and now we've kind of had every day another piece of the narrative. I guess you could say that. The story probably, well, it doesn't end here for the Steelers and the Browns, but it ends here in terms of the national news cycle. And that's really what the NFL wanted. The NFL wanted to squash it as quickly as possible, or at least to control the narrative and to react in a way that there's no way you could question how seriously the league takes this. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the tweet from James Thrash. I didn't go back and read a whole lot of the comments to him because I couldn't stomach it. I saw one. If you are interested, you could always check out James's Twitter account. But what drew me to look at a couple of tweets that he put out on Thursday was this. Please stop tweeting me about the decision. This was a grueling process and the outcome is final. Player safety is what's most important. And you remember we had just spent some time talking about the Penn State quarterback who was receiving death threats and all kinds of other vulgar and vile tweets and reaction on his social media, and to the point where he had to deactivate his social media for a few days. Doesn't sound like James Thrash is going to do that. And he's a former professional athlete himself. But man, some of the stuff, I couldn't read a whole lot of it because even the first tweet I read from a Cleveland sports fan was, I mean, it was a death threat. Same thing for James Thrash. And I'm not suggesting at all that that's what the majority of Cleveland sports fans are doing, only that I cannot get over the fact that somebody can put their name on a tweet that's actually threatening another human being with his life. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So Freddie Kitchens, Myles Garrett, in addition to a lot of the other Browns, were reacting before they found out that his suspension would not be reduced. The Steelers were reacting after they found out, after the news broke, that Garrett told James Thrash that Mason Rudolph directed a racial slur at him. Mason was supposed to speak to the media following practice on Thursday. He was scheduled to speak. The Steelers let him out of it. And one of his teammates, Cam Hayward, described him as distraught over hearing that Myles Garrett had accused him of using a racial slur.
You should never get taken out of context and think, you know, those words should be put in our game. But to use that as your appeal and think that's okay, you know, one action doesn't deserve another. I know Mason didn't say it.
So Cam Hayward, I know Mason didn't say it. Myles Garrett on Twitter, I know what I heard. Whether my opponent's comment was born out of frustration or ignorance, I cannot say. But his actions do not excuse my lack of restraint, excuse me, in the moment. And I truly regret the impact this has had on the league, the Browns, and our devoted fans. So after saying nothing publicly for the better part of a week, Myles then finds out that that this has been leaked, this portion of his appeal, and he takes to social media to say, I know what I heard. Mason Rudolph's attorney issued a statement that was, I mean, it called Myles a liar. This is a lie. My client did not say that. He would never use that language. And really, in the Steelers locker room, there was no wavering. Regardless of the color of skin, there wasn't one person that didn't come out and support Mason Rudolph.
I know it wasn't provoked by anything Mason said or did. He just took one on the top of the dome at a guy that lost his cool, and that's unfortunate. But the people that painted a picture of him saying a racist remark or him grabbing him in the groin area is ludicrous.
That's Ramon Foster, offensive lineman, who was a guest on our Pittsburgh affiliate, 93.7 The Fan. So now you have a situation that is Myles Garrett's word against Mason Rudolph's, though we haven't heard from Mason directly, but we've heard from his attorney and his teammates and his head coach. Here's the part that bothers me the most. No one else heard it. As much as the Browns want to support Myles Garrett, there isn't one person other than Garrett who said he heard it. There were other guys right there. We know this because it turned into a big scrumble, a big free-for-all. No one else heard it. I wasn't there, so I can't say definitively one way or another, but this is a dangerous accusation to level at another person. It's the type of accusation that people will believe, even if there's no proof. And that's the part that bothers me. It'd be different if people were saying, oh, well, the NFL investigated, there's no proof, and so I don't believe that Mason Rudolph said that. I can understand why he's distraught. People who don't even know him are now labeling him a racist. Even though the NFL didn't find any evidence of it, even though no one else heard it. Is Myles Garrett lying? I don't know. But it's a dangerous thing to say when it can't be proven? Because Mason can't disprove it. All he can say is, that's not me. I would never use that word. I would never say such a thing. But it's left to people to judge on their own. I'm not in Mason Rudolph's shoes, but I've certainly been accused of saying things and being racist in the past. And there's no way to fight back. There's no way for Mason Rudolph to fight back other than to say, it's not true. But no matter what, this is out there. And I get it, life is not fair. And maybe he did say it. Except that no one else heard it. And the NFL can't find anyone who will tell them that they heard it. And so I actually feel bad for Mason. Now, Miles indicated on his Twitter that he didn't think that this was ever going to get out. I don't know what that means. He said he thought the appeals process was private and didn't think that this was going to become leaked in public. And he hadn't said anything about it until this point. But man, it's a heavy accusation to level with no proof. And yet in 2019, in our day and age, sadly, with the mob mentality on social media, people don't even require proof. All they require is an accusation, and they take it and run with it. Which is why I can understand Mason feeling the way that he does. Because there's, again, no way that he'll ever be able to convince 100% of the people that he didn't say it and that's not him. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Bunch of you waiting patiently to get on the phones. Last night, we had some long-winded callers. I was hesitant to jump in and cut them off. I will not be hesitant tonight. So no callers that are going 4, 5, 6 minutes. When you get on the radio, say what you got to say, and then I'll respond, and then we will hang up, okay? So we want to get to as many people as possible. It was my fault last night. I was hesitant, and I was not doing my job as a radio host, but I will be doing it tonight. We got to keep it moving, Pete. Keep it moving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
There were mistakes made by both people, but I don't think it ever got to a racial slur, personally. And, it was a heated moment. The guy made a mistake. And, you know, we're dealing with the consequences, but we're not going to make up stuff.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cam Hayward, one of the Steelers, willing to step out and speak on behalf of Mason Rudolph and... He said that Mason came to him after the news filtered into their practice that he'd been accused of using a racial slur. And because Cam is one of the captains, Mason Rudolph came to him and said, what do I do? And Cam's the one that told reporters that Mason Rudolph is distraught. And he said, we're dealing with the consequences, but we're not going to make stuff up. And so it becomes a he said, it becomes... players and teammates lining up to support their guys, which is what you're supposed to do. I wish the conversation could end with there's no evidence of it. But it won't. And so I can certainly understand the reaction of Mason, who did not speak after practice, even though he was scheduled to do so. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Again, remember, you need to get to your point, and then we're going to keep moving. Jason's listening in Nebraska. Welcome to After Hours.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My point is, I'm 50-50 on the thing, but, if, you know, from a minority's point of view, if I hear something, I'm going to react because that's how it is. Now, them two need to get together, man to man, and find out what's going on. Because if there is a miscommunication or whatever, then that needs to become, you know, because right now it's become a racial issue, and that's, it, you know, you got to make it straight.
See, that's not, that's the part that bothers me. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate your phone call. It wasn't a racial issue until Myles Garrett said it was. And so there's no evidence of it. And yet this is what we're going to hear from people. They're 50-50 on it. That's the part that bothers me so much, is there is no evidence. The NFL looked into it. Nobody else said they heard it. But because Myles Garrett said it, now there are people who are calling this a racial issue, and Mason Rudolph is left to deal with the fallout. Just for the sake of argument, what if he didn't say it? What if he didn't say it? And yet this is the conversation. Trying to put myself in his shoes, with just a limited experience with it on social media. And it's frustrating because he can't really fight back. There's nothing he can say that's going to convince everybody. The only thing that would change the narrative is for Myles Garrett to admit, I don't know what I heard. I didn't hear it correctly. I thought I heard it. Or I just flat out lied, which, I mean, I understand why his teammates are saying it. We have no reason to believe he'd lie. Except he really wanted to get out of his indefinite suspension. I guess therein lies the big motivation. So just, it's, the whole thing is so frustrating. Let's talk to Tyler, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to comment about how I think, like, Myles was going into this suspension hearing trying to get a finite number of games, like you had mentioned earlier. And all I really think he did was hurt his own case when they go to look at it next year. And I'm just curious as to why we're just now hearing about this for the first time a week later. It just seems like if something actually happened, they should have talked about it the day after or the night of. It just seems a little ridiculous to me. Thanks so much. Have a good night.
All right, Tyler, I appreciate it. Yeah, Myles addressed that as well on his Twitter. And I don't know the reason why. It would seem like it would have been a conversation if that happened, and Myles reacted to it. Now, he took responsibility in the wake of the brawl, and he said, I embarrassed myself. There's no excuse for what I did. So I guess there's always that. He wanted to draw the hard line and say, no matter what, I shouldn't have done what I did. I'm not going to make excuses. And then go into the appeal and present his side of the story. I guess if you were looking at it from all angles, you could even say Myles Garrett was being altruistic, not wanting to damage Mason Rudolph's reputation. But there goes that, right? I mean, that's no longer a possibility. So, yeah, he did say, I'm not going to argue back and forth about what I said when, what came out when. Now, Jay Glazer, you may remember, Jay Glazer was supposed to have a sit-down interview with Myles Garrett on the NFL on Fox on Sunday, and the Browns at the last second, or, you know, close to the 11th hour, strongly encouraged him not to do it. Jay has done a Twitter video in which he said, I was planning to ask him whether or not he was provoked and whether or not there was something that was said. You also may know that Josina Anderson, who is a longtime ESPN NFL reporter, she tweeted right after the brawl that something had to have been said by Mason Rudolph for Myles Garrett to act like that, and then she deleted the tweet. So it was up there, and then it was gone. Not before a lot of people reacted to it, of course. And so we had people speculating to me last week, and I think that's dangerous speculation. In this particular case, labeling someone with racist, shouldn't there be proof before you can actually do that? Except in 2019, on social media, proof is optional. I say this to people a lot when they write to me and rant and rave about something I didn't even say. Well, don't let the truth get in the way of a good rant. My truth, your truth, her truth, his truth. Seems like when it comes to labeling people, we don't care as much about the truth anymore. And that is one of the things I hate about social media is, what did Klay Thompson say a couple years ago? A lie can get halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to pull its pants on. Something like that. I mean, that's true. And of course, the lies and the salacious go a lot farther, faster when it comes to social media. I can see it from both points of view. And again, I wasn't out there, so I don't know the truth for sure. I just know that it's a kind of accusation that needs to have some proof to it. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your calls. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Jay Berman.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Is still an indefinite suspension for Myles Garrett, which means, Andrew, the Browns star defensive end and one of the best pass rushers in the NFL is out through the balance of the regular season. And in the event the Browns make the playoffs, he is out as well. Plus, he then needs to get clearance from Commissioner Roger Goodell. Garrett does, just to be able to return to the field. Obviously, he was hoping for a reduction. He was hoping the indefinite suspension would turn finite. Instead, it is still an indefinite suspension. Plus, source says he has been fined more than $45,000. Then there's the situation surrounding Marquise Pouncey, and Derek Brooks, the appeals officer there, did decide his suspension goes from 3 games to 2. Plus, he's fined more than $35,000. He will miss the rematch between these two teams.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ian Rappaport on the Myles Garrett, Marquise Pouncey decisions that were issued after their appeals. I was surprised the Pouncey got reduced. I understand he was sticking up for his teammate, and I think that that is a very admirable quality. I appreciate loyalty. We don't always have it in sports. It's a family, and that's what I would do for one of my family members. But his punching and kicking Myles Garrett was definitely excessive. And I had said to you this time last week that I thought he deserved a 3-game suspension. So I'm surprised it got reduced. Either way, he will not be on the field for the rematch of Brown Steelers, which you were pretty confident wasn't going to happen. And Myles Garrett does not have his suspension reduced either. Now, Garrett tweeted about the leak and the fact that he thought the hearing was his opportunity to be open and honest about what led to his suspension and that he didn't realize it was going to be made public. But it's actually the NFL that responded publicly in a statement. It didn't need to be leaked because the NFL released a statement through its league spokesman, Brian McCarthy, that said it found no evidence that Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph used a racial slur at Garrett. Evidence being, do we have a camera on his mouth where we might be able to isolate? And they've got dozens of camera angles. Is there any point at which they might be able to see his mouth, read his lips, or did someone else hear it? You can be sure that if any of the Browns heard it, they would have come forward. So if you're one of those people that believes this must be true, that Myles Garrett must have been provoked, does it not matter to you that the NFL can't find any evidence of it and that none of the other Browns will say that they heard it? I guess that's my question. If you are one who believes it and is going to take it at Myles Garrett word, what then does it mean to you that none of the other Browns are coming forward to say they heard it? 855-212-4227. See, let's talk to Derek, who's in Alabama. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. Good morning. And this may be a bit of a reach, but how well do you think the NFL investigated while on the flip side, they was, how you said, Mason Rudolph, once you've been accused, it's out there, the NFL been accused of blackballing Colin Kaepernick and what he stood for. And I just hit. And like I said, it may be a reach, but I hang up.
Wait. I'm sorry, Derek. I didn't quite get the connection with what we were talking about and Colin Kaepernick. Can you just say that again?
Okay. So you know how some people were saying the NFL blackballed him to not having a job for what he stands for, or maybe the color of his skin and whatnot. How do you, it may, like I said, it may be a reach, but do you think that tie into how they handled this investigation to maybe clear their own name, be like, well, you know, we're not going to stand for this or and whatnot?
I mean, I appreciate your call, Derek. They're definitely not blackballing if there's blackballing going on with Colin Kaepernick. It's not because of the color of his skin. I mean, there are plenty of African Americans and minorities in the NFL. So that's not the case. There's a lot of reasons why Colin Kaepernick is not in the league, and each team, you know, they've got their own reasons for it. I don't think there's any connection here. And if you're asking me if I think the NFL came down harder on Myles Garrett because he's not white, because he's black, No. It's because it was such, honestly, the NFL cares so much about its image and its reputation and the narrative that it wouldn't matter if the guy was purple. The league was still coming down hard because the optics on this were so bad. The optics were so bad. You had on national TV. Really, you didn't even need that. You just needed social media, the 8-second clip, and slam, a helmet on top of a guy who's wearing nothing on his head. I mean, we saw that over and over and over again. And so I don't think it would matter if it was the mysterious black cat who was out there slamming the helmet. I mean, it doesn't really matter. The fact is, this was an awful look for the NFL, which is why they're not backing down. It was embarrassing for the league. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Just got this tweet from Paris. I'm calling BS on all of you in the media saying that Miles is lying. See, this is what I'm talking about. It doesn't really matter what I say because people are going to say whatever they want back. I did not say he was lying. In fact, I said the exact opposite. I said, I will never know the truth because I wasn't there, but I do require some evidence before I'm just going to blatantly believe that someone used a racial slur. To me, that is a serious enough accusation. It's a dangerous enough accusation that I need some proof before I'm going to believe it. The NFL did check. So Parisi goes on to say, in the beginning, Myles Garrett said, go check. The NFL did check, and there's no evidence. So that's what I don't understand. For those of you who believe that Myles Garrett is telling the truth, tell me why. Tell me why you are going to disregard the fact that no other Browns heard it, and that you're going to disregard the fact that the NFL can't find any visual evidence of it either. Is it just because you want so badly to believe that Myles Garrett couldn't possibly have lost his cool for any other reason? Again, that's a dangerous assumption. Put yourself in his position. You just got accused of using a racial slur, and there's no way that you can disprove it in public opinion. That to me is scary. Although I guess I'm not surprised, because that's what happens. People label all types of erroneous claims and false accusations. And because they're salacious and they're juicy and they make for good gossip, I mean, people get convicted on far less. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Martin, who's in Indiana. Martin, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. Now, my question is, Myles Garrett, he's a Pro Bowl, one of the league's best top, you know, defensive ends. And why would he damage his potential earnings of millions of dollars over something that, if it's fabricated, I just don't understand why. And if he did make up these accusations, what state of mind is he in? Is he a real monster lunatic type to bust this bubble all over the end, you know, on everyone? It's I mean, I wouldn't want to lose millions of dollars over some idiot statement.
So you're saying you believe Myles Garrett could lose money by saying this about Mason Rudolph?
Most definitely.
Really? Because there's no way that anyone could prove he's lying, right? So you're saying he's taking the chance, and I'm assuming you're saying that he's taking the chance if he's lying about it and nobody's backing him up, that it looks bad for him. But it's just a he said, he said. That's my point, is that you should see my Twitter right now. You should see my Facebook. The number of people that are sure there's no way that he could be lying, because he wouldn't make that up. I mean, it's just become one of those situations where it's just about people picking sides. So I'm not sure why you think this would jeopardize his future earnings unless it comes out that he did lie. I don't know why a team would withhold it. I mean, there's no way that it can be disproven, and it's clear that a lot of people are going to choose to believe him even though there's no evidence of it.
I mean, in the NFL, once you're listed as a certain type of player, every team is going to scrutinize, go over your record, your past history and everything, and that's potential earnings that you could lose.
Right, but that has nothing to do with what Mason Rudolph might have said. If a team decides that they think he's got a volatile temper, and he's been fined before for nasty hits on quarterbacks, defenseless players, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if a team decides that they don't want to bring him on board because of his past, it's not going to be because he accused another guy of using a racial slur. It's going to be because he swung his helmet and smashed another guy across the head.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, the whole thing is a nasty situation, and it's just gotten worse. It's unfortunate, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, Martin. Thanks so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. Yeah, I don't know that his claim about why it happened would affect anything more than what he's already affected. And honestly, let's be real. When you're an extremely talented player in professional sports, you generally get more chances than the guys who are not extremely talented. And he is extremely talented. 10 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. This is a guy who the Browns are desperately going to miss the rest of the way. And the coach is standing up for him. The players are standing up for him. All of them are saying this is out of character for him. And so I don't, at least if it's me, if I'm a general manager, he's still the type of player that I'm willing to pay and bring on board because he's a wrecking ball and because he's really good at what he does. So, yeah, you have a conversation with him. You talk to him and make sure that he recognizes this was it was an awful mistake. It was something that cannot happen in the past. He accepts responsibility for it. So if it's me, I want to hear him accept responsibility, which he's done. I want to hear him say, no excuses for my behavior, which he's done. And when he comes back, I want to know that he can tell me this will never happen again. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. We're halfway through. Thanks so much for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.